Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. As you know, that we really appreciate the fact that, because you could be at home asleep in bed, of course, then you would miss what God's doing, but we're really glad you came. And once again, thank you, as always, to the elders for opening up the pulpit and giving me the privilege of being able to share what God's put on my heart. Jessica was supposed to lead this morning, but you may have noticed she's not here. She's having an attack of kidney stones. So if you think of her this week, if you would just speak over her body and declare complete health from that, and we would appreciate you joining us in doing that. So I've got part five of a skewed view. But before we start, let's pray. So, Father, thank you for the incredible privilege of exploring your word, spending time with you, and getting to know you better. Would you come this morning, and would you speak, and let only what you want to be said heard? And anything else that's not of you, would it just be like Teflon and slip off? And we thank you for your presence. We say, come, Lord, have your way. Give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you like a title for today, the title would be Skewed or Not Skewed? That is the question. Now, before we talk about what something skewed is, you got to know what the word skewed means. So in the Macmillan Dictionary, it says to make something not even or not straight, to affect facts or information so that they are not accurate. The Collins Dictionary says distorted or biased. So, you know, I like to always give, for those of you who are visual learners, an example. So here we have, actually this is a plug for Connect Groups. I made this wall with the help of John Dent and Alan Humphreys in our home Connect Group, and I learned how to do some wiring, and if this was attached to something, I could flick it and you would see a light bulb go on. It's very impressive. And it also came in handy for today. So here we have a painting. So this, you would say, is skewed. But the problem arises, you see, is when I look at that painting and I look at it like this. I turn my head to the same angle and I go, wow, that painting looks great. It's not skewed at all. That looks really straight to me. Now, of course, you're looking at it and you're going, like, what's wrong with her? It is like so obvious that that's skewed. Have you ever had people come up to you, you know, and often you can see something and they can't, and you try and help them, but you can't really help them because they can't see they have a problem. Well, that's actually why, because they're like, no, I don't get what you're saying, actually. That looks straight to me. The other thing that can happen is, for those listening on the internet, now the painting is actually straight. But I'm looking at it again with my head tilted. And I'm like, I don't know, I think there's something off with that painting. That doesn't look straight to me. I know you're telling me it's straight, but actually, I think you're off. Once again, we're looking at it wrongly. So in both scenarios, what has to happen? It's actually not the painting that needs to be fixed. It's the way I'm looking at the painting. Now, when we look at paintings, or when we look at things in the world, we want to make sure we're looking correctly. Now, as Christians, God is so good because, you know, he wants us to succeed. He doesn't want to make it hard for us. If you have the impression that, oh, God, you know, he's really difficult. He doesn't really want to help me. I'm here to tell you that you're looking at God like this because, in fact, he wants to make it easy for you. So when something is skewed in the natural world, they have this thing that's amazing. It's called a plumb line. And it doesn't matter where I put it. No matter how I hang it, it's going to always go at a 90-degree angle and be straight. So if the thing next to it is off, it becomes very obvious because this will always be straight. And that's what they use in the natural world. Well, God wants us to be able to do the same thing. So what he did was he gave us a plumb line. And that plumb line is called the Bible. And like, isn't that wonderful that he wrote something? He says, I'm going to give them a tool that will stand them for their entire life in every situation they face. So what you do, we put it next to the stand, the plumb line next to the stand when it's tilted. So what I do is I put it next to my life. I put it next to my life experience. I put it next to my thinking patterns. And if it's off, it's not the Bible that needs to be adjusted. It's the way I think that needs to be adjusted. It's my view that needs to be adjusted. So anything that you're dealing with, take it and put it against the Bible. And if it doesn't line up, even if you think that you're right, take God's word as true and be willing to change what you think to line up with God's word, because it's God's word. And that's all. Now, there are three areas that we want to deal with today that we can have skewed views. We can have a skewed view of God, we can have a skewed view of ourselves, and we can have a skewed view of others. And the reason why this is so important, the number one, the skewed view of God is so important and critical to get it accurate, is because if that is off, everything else will be off. Your view of yourself will be off, your view of others will be off. You must get an accurate view of God. We don't want it to be skewed. But then you can say to yourself, but, you know, and the two areas I really want us to have our view accurate is, who is God and what is he doing? Because if we can understand accurately who is God and what he is doing, then we can live a victorious life. And you go, well, who is God? If you're here and you've never met him, and or if you kind of know him, but you're like, I don't know, who is God? You can't see God, right? Who is this guy? Well, once again, he said, I'm going to tell you who I am. Here, I've written a book called The Bible. And everything about me, well, not everything about me, it's full of me. Now, everything about God is not in the Bible. We know that, right? Everything in the Bible is God, but not all of God is put into the Bible, because we have eternity still to come. And in eternity, we're just continuing to learn more and more about him. It's just so awesome. So, but he has put a lot of who he is in here for us to see, because he wants us to know who he is. He doesn't want to make it hard. Remember, he wants us to know. So in Exodus 34, he says, Moses is like, God, I want to see your glory. Like, who are you? Because your glory is your character. And he says, well, go up to this place, and there's a rock there. You step into the rock, I'm going to cover you, I'll pass, and I will cause all my glory, who I am, to go in front of you. And you'll be able to hear, and but you have to wait till I go past, because no man may look at the face of God and live. So it says in Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord. Now this is God speaking. He's telling you who he is. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. So when you look at God, is that what you see? Or maybe you came from a home where God was not portrayed accurately. Or you went to a church that was very rigid and said God actually isn't merciful, that he isn't long-suffering. There is a limit to his patience, and if you don't do it right, he will come alongside you and smack you. Well, that doesn't line up with what God himself said. So this morning, I want to challenge you that if your view is skewed, let's make some adjustments. Colossians 1:15, Paul tells us that he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Do you want to see what God looks like? Do you want to actually see him in action? Open the Gospels. Study Jesus. What did he do? How did he treat people? That's who Jesus is, and that's who God is. In John 14:9-11, Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So when you look at Jesus, you see who God really is, and you can make the adjustments if what you think doesn't line up with what you read in the Bible. Now, what is God doing? Have you ever asked yourself that? What is going on here? It's actually, once again, very simple. God has given you the answer right at the beginning of the book. You didn't even have to go very far in. You know, sometimes you read a book and it's like, it's too big, it's too fat, look at the size of this thing. Well, he put it right in the front so that you could read it and know. Genesis 1:26, then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Everything in your life gets traced back to this. All your experiences, all that's going on, all that's happening, is being used by God to make you into his image. Isn't that exciting? You know those struggles and the difficulties that you come up against? They're actually opportunities for God to reveal who he is and to help you practice being like him. Isn't he good? I know you believe that. I can just see it on your faces. Now what happens? How do you know if you have a skewed view? Well, it's very simple once again. Would you please set aside some time this week, get alone with God and say, God, do I have a skewed view? A skewed view of you in any way? Of you as a father, as you Jesus, or of you Holy Spirit? And just listen. And if he says yes, hot tip as they say, don't argue. Doesn't really matter if you think so or not. Remember, you're looking like this, so to you it may look good. Straight, God says, no, here, I want to just adjust your view so you can see properly. And if he says yes, then you ask him, well, what is it? What one do you want to work on? Because don't take this wrong, but I can guarantee that we all have various skewed views in our lives that God's working on. Which one are you working on, God? And he'll tell you what he wants to, where you've got a view that's skewed. And if you want, you can ask him, how did that happen? Dialogue with God. He's one of the greatest joys of his life is to have a relationship with you, with me. He wants to talk to you. How did that happen? What is the truth? What is the change I need to make? And then allow him to tell you, and then take that and adjust your thinking, adjust your speaking, and adjust your actions to line up with it. That's your responsibility. Okay? So what God is doing is he's always bringing opportunities for you to know who he is and to practice being like him. For instance, you're at work and something goes wrong and you're misjudged at work. So it's a great opportunity for you to know who God is. Psalm 54, save me, O God, your name by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God, and give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. And then it says Selah, which means stop and think about that. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. Then Luke 18 says, and will not God, Jesus talking, bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So let's say you're put into a situation where you've been misjudged. And in the natural, you may want to defend yourself. But what if God's saying, I'm going to give you an opportunity in this situation to partner with me and learn about me, that I am your vindicator, that I am your protector, that I am your deliverer? You know, if you'd never have a situation where you need a deliverer, how can you learn God as deliverer? So he's going to bring into our lives situations that enable him to reveal who he is for our relationship growth, for our maturing, so that we can be like him. And then once we have those situations, he also often will follow them up with opportunities to practice being like him. So I can now answer back and become bitter or become resentful. Or I can partner with God, because you see, is God ever bitter or resentful? No. He wants me instead to show forgiveness. He wants me to learn how to become more adept at mercy. So into my life comes an experience that requires me to be merciful. But instead of looking at it with, oh my goodness, how those people, how can they be so unjust? Who do they think they are thinking like that about me? Don't they know what I'm? And you know, when we work ourselves up into this frenzy, how about instead we step back and we say, Lord, thank you that you are giving me this opportunity to get to know you as deliverer. That you're giving me this opportunity to get to know you as my source of justice. So I'm going to thank you for that, and I'm going to worship you because you are so faithful and true. And I get the Bible out, and I begin to look up all the instances of God being deliverer, of God being vindicator. And I study those, and I begin to think on those. That's what meditating is. And I begin to declare them out loud. And as I do that, something happens to me. I actually begin to get to know God as my vindicator. I begin to know who God is in this area. And that changes me. And then as I get to practice being forgiving, I look up. You know, where all the times Jesus was misrepresented, and yet he forgave. Father, forgive them. The ultimate, they know not what they do. And as I practice that, I actually start to become more and more like Jesus. So instead of getting all stressed out, when things go wrong, your circumstances don't look right, situations seem to be coming against you, instead say, God, who are you revealing yourself to me as? How can I get to know you better as this? And what would you have me practice being like Jesus in this area? And do those things and watch what happens. So we get our view straight on who God is and what is he doing. Remember, he's making you like Jesus. So now we come to a skewed view of self. Again, Genesis 26 to 28. This is what God says you are, who you are. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That is who you are. Now, after the fall, of course, things got shifted, but Jesus came, and if you are a Christian, if you have declared with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you have been restored back into your original identity. So, you are made in the likeness of God. Do you realize that he said that you are blessed? Do you say that about yourself? Or do you say, once again, sure, nothing ever works for me. Always in the wrong place at the right time, story of my life. Is that your language? Because if that's your language, that's actually revealing not only your view of you, but deeper in your view of God. So what kind of language do you use when you talk about yourself? Do you know the Word of God says that you are always in the right place at the right time because the Lord God directs your steps? That's what the Word of God says. We want to repeat what God says over our lives. Thank you that I am made in your likeness. Do you know that you have dominion? That you have authority in this world? That's what God says. No, I'm just a victim. No one listens to me. There I am. You know, this is your body posture. This is telling me something. You know, if I see you standing there like this, this tells everybody that you're a victim. Well, you are not a victim. God says that you have dominion, that you have authority to rule and to reign with him. It says that God blessed them. Do you know that you can be fruitful? You can be fruitful in all areas of your life. You can be fruitful in speaking life over people. You can bring joy wherever you go. All those things are yours because that's what God says, and that's who God says you are. That's how he made you. Is that what you believe about yourself? When you go somewhere, do you think, oh my goodness, when I go into that place, place where I put my foot, God says he's going to give to me. And you go into that room and you're like, I'm going to bring joy into this room. I'm going to bring life into this room. I'm going to release peace into this situation. Are you ever in the store and somewhere around you somebody's going like off the wall and someone's screaming at their child, or I don't know if you're like me, you're in the mall, something like that's happening? I start praying right away, and I start releasing the peace of God into that. I start speaking, not necessarily out loud to these people, because, you know, we don't want to have anything unpleasant happen. They're not in that place. But I go and I take my authority in that spiritual realm over them, and I speak peace. I rebuke strife. I come against whatever is trying to operate over them, and I bring what God has told me I can bring. 2 Corinthians 5:11, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Do you talk about yourself like you're righteous? Or do you talk about yourself with a sin consciousness, as we say, meaning that I'm always aware of what I've done wrong? I always am aware of how, you know what, I'll just never be good enough. Well, that's a lie. God says you are the righteousness of Christ. You are good enough. You've got to adjust your skewed view of yourself. You have to change the way you're thinking. 1 John 4:17 says, as he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. Oh my goodness. Didn't you know that? As he is, as Jesus is, so are you in this world. And this is so huge that we get this right. You may not believe it. You may not speak it. You may not think like it. You may not act like it. But that's who God has said you are, irregardless of what you think, believe, act, say. That's who you are. I'm the daughter of my mom. Regardless of how I act, what I say, I can deny that's who I am, but that's who I am. And so you are who God says you are. You know, have you ever prayed or sung, Lord, make me like you? Have you ever said that? Make me like you, Jesus. I want to be like you. Hebrews, you know, often when we sing that, I don't know about you, but we're probably thinking in our mind, I want to heal the sick, raise the dead, see the blind eyes open. Yes, Jesus, make me like you. That's so awesome, right? That's what we want to do. But Hebrews 5:8 says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Make me like you, Jesus. Well, have you actually read the Gospels? Yes, he healed the sick and raised the dead. But he was also unjustly accused, and he opened not his mouth. He was beaten. He was rejected. He was despised. Make me like you, Jesus. Do you know what you're asking? Because then he does it. He gives the opportunity to be rejected. And open not your mouth, right? He gives the opportunity to be figuratively or maybe literally spat upon, to turn the other cheek, and you're like, what the? How dare they? But I thought you said you wanted to be made like Jesus. So what are you going to be? James 1:8 tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Are you finding that it's hard? Well, maybe it's because you want to be made like Jesus sometimes, but then other times I don't really want to be like Jesus. You know what? I want to tell them what I think because that feels so good when I do that. I mean, that's just true, right? It's like, if I don't set them straight, who's going to let them know? Right? So if you want to be made like Jesus, then read the Bible, see what happened to him, expect those things to happen to you, and then respond the way he responded. Okay? Because that's what's in responding the way he responds, it is possible. I know we think it's hard, and sometimes it is, but we have to remember that Jesus didn't respond the way he did out of his supernatural abilities. He emptied himself of his deity. Though he was fully God and fully man, he emptied himself and came to earth only fully as man. So it's not like he relied upon a supernatural inner strength that he possessed. He had to rely upon his Father. That's why he said, I only do what I see my Father doing. So what he was doing was modeling for us, this is possible for you. That you can, if you're fully reliant, fully submitted to God, in relationship constantly with him, the things that I do, the things that I say, you can do as well. So when you find that you want to respond in a way that isn't like Jesus, the way you deal with that is you say, God, I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. I need your mercy because mine doesn't cut it. And that's what Jesus did. So take a deep breath and look to Jesus. And it's the same way, if you want to know if you have a skewed view about yourself, because you know what has happened? We've all grown up in homes with parents, with teachers, with siblings, with other relatives, with other authority figures, and they've all said things to us, or they've all done things that have spoken to us. And what happens is that we then draw conclusions about who we are, and they can be very wrong, and God wants to fix those for us. So you look back to him, you ask him, do I have anything that's off? And if he says yes, then you ask him, where did that come from? And what is the truth? And allow him to fix your vision, to just tilt that way a little bit so you can see accurately who you really are. And if you're not sure if you're looking correctly, remember, just line up with the Bible. Does what you say about yourself, does it agree with what God has said about you? You're not allowed to say anything about yourself that God has not said. That's just the rule. Okay? If you catch yourself doing it, stop it. A skewed view of others. Now, how we processed our life experiences heavily influences how we view others. For instance, if we had an emotionally absent father, we may believe that men are emotionally unavailable. Or if I had a controlling mother, I might believe that all women are controlling. And so the danger in that is that we begin to put into our lives strategies that function to protect us from those things. And so we respond to people from that place. And that is never helpful. It becomes a hindrance to being who we are, and it's a hindrance for them to be who they are. So once again, we have to say, okay, how do I look at this person? How do I see people around me? You look at the people beside you, like, what do you see? How do you view them? One person who had an unskewed view of people, of others, was Mother Teresa. She understood Genesis 1:26, let us make them in our image. Because you know, when she ministered to those who were diseased and sick, who were broken in their filthiness, she saw God in them, and that's who she dealt with. She saw them with an unskewed view. Do you know what she said? This is what one of the, she said many very wise things. Just one here, let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile. I know I'm not there yet, but wow, eh? And the reason this is so important that we get is because while God can and still does in the world show up in person and appear to people and manifest himself to them, for the majority of people, the way they're going to see and know God is by looking at you and me. We are his representatives here on earth. And so what we want to do is we want to know him. That's why he's trying to show us who he is, so that we can then practice being like him, so that when someone sees me and I extend grace or kindness or love, they go, I've never seen anything like that before on this earth. I've never experienced that. And that will draw them, and they'll say, well, what is that? And we'll say, that is Jesus. And then they'll go, I like that. I want to know that more. And you see, that's why it's so key that we get this right. People's eternal destinies get impacted by how we represent God, by who we know him to be, because I will share that with somebody. If mine's off, I will share that view skewed to somebody, and then they will be off. So who we know him to be and how we act like him. And you know, I know sometimes we're in relationships with people and it's like, it's not fair. How come I'm always the one who has to be forgiving? How come, have you ever said that? Well, how come I'm always the one who, why can't they? Well, aren't you being made into the image of God? Remember, go back to what's God doing? He's making you like Jesus. So guess what? You always get to be the one. Isn't that awesome? I always get to be the one. Like, that's how we have to think about it. Oh, wait a second, I get this. I'm being made like Jesus. This is awesome. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I'm going to forgive. Thank you, Jesus, that you're helping me learn to be forgiving like you. Isn't that great? Do you want to be some bitter, old, shriveled up thing? No. You want to learn how to be forgiving. We want to be like extravagant in our forgiveness. We want to be like Jesus. Do you want to be someone who's always miserable and unhappy? No, you want to learn how to, in any situation, be joyful. Well, the only way that happens is when you're put into opportunities to practice. Because you know, in anything, just like in the natural, when you practice something, what happens? You get really good at it. Well, don't you want to be really good at extending grace? Don't you want to be really good at being merciful? Don't you want to be really good at forgiving, at loving unconditionally? Do you want to be really good at those things? Then when opportunities come for you to practice, instead of going, oh, this is unfair, this is not right, God, how could you? No, instead go, oh my goodness, I'm getting to practice. And after this, when I do it, when I practice enough, man, I'm getting really good at this thing. And I'm becoming as he is. In this world, so am I. You know, now Jesus endured the cross. And how did he do that? Because you know that Jesus too did say, do I have to do this? So don't feel bad if, you know, you get in those situations and you're like, do I have to do this? Do I really have to forgive them? You can say that. God doesn't go, don't even discuss with me. No, he's like, let's share. Share your heart with me. I can tell me anything you're saying. No matter what you have to say, God will be okay hearing it. Let me reassure you. The important thing for him is that you're talking with him and you're in conversation. So it's okay. Be free. You can say to him, this is awful. I don't like this. Don't you know that they're doing this? Na, na, na. You go on and you can lament to him. Just read the Psalms. David did that. But then David always comes back at the end. But I will worship you and I will, God is my, he always comes back, right? So you can go to God and you can say, you know, like, really, do I have to forgive again? Are you kidding me? Because Jesus even said, is there any other way? And God said, no. And then Jesus just said, okay, not my will, but yours be done. So when you go to God and you're like, is there any other way? And he says, no. Then just say, okay, like Jesus, remember, because you're getting practice like him, okay. Not my will, but yours be done. All right? And what is the joy? So the joy for Jesus was he knew that you and I were going to be in heaven with him, that we were going to be in relationship with him. Isn't that amazing that he took the cross on because he said, I want to have Lorraine in heaven with me, and I want to sit with Lucas and have fun with him in paradise. And I want to be with Louise, and we're going to kayak on some awesome rivers in heaven. You know, like this, he's like, this is the joy for him, right? For each one of us, every one of you, me, are like so delightful to him. And he said, I will endure this because then I get to be with you. Like, how awesome are you? Come on, don't ever believe a lie that you aren't awesome. So what's our joy when we have these things come up against us? What's our joy that we got to keep before us? Our joy is we're being made like Jesus. Like, how could you not want to be like Jesus? Read the Gospels. He is the most incredible, amazing, outstanding, loving, and every superlative. What's the? No, there's a better word than that. But the best word you can think of. They're Him, okay? And the joy set before us when we're in trial and difficulty is that we're being made like Him. We're being made like Him. That is like incredible. So, now we say the church is the huddle. We get to practice, and then we go out into the world. So what is exactly you're practicing? So I'd like to propose that actually what you get to practice is being like Jesus. It's a safe environment, relatively. Okay, it's supposed to be so. Now you get to practice like Jesus. So today, for instance, let's say I thought Michelle, which I did, was awesome in worship. So now after church, I see her. She's coming past here, and I stop her, and I'm like, oh, Michelle, I just want to tell you, you were phenomenal in how you sang, and it was just great. I really, really enjoyed it. God, it's just wonderful. She goes, yeah, okay, thanks. And she walks past me like this. Now I'm standing there. I'm like, that wasn't very friendly of her. So I have two responses. I go out into the cafe area, and I can either think, oh, here's an opportunity to practice being like Jesus. Or I can, and I can extend grace and not get offended. Or, and then I walk into the cafe and I say to the people, I'm having sit down, have coffee, you know, and I'm like, wasn't Michelle and the team great this morning? And that's like my opportunity to practice, right? Or I can decide I'm not going to practice today. And I sit at the table and I look, you know, that something's not right. And I wait until someone says, what's wrong? And then I go, I can't believe Michelle. I went up to her to tell her how great her singing was, and she just, like, blew me off. Do you believe it? Like, you think she would have at least said thank you. Sheesh. Young people today. By the way, Michelle's not like this, and that's why I can use her. So, now, if I do that, you know that God is so good. He doesn't waste an opportunity. Because now the people who I'm sitting with all get an opportunity. They get to respond in two ways. They can stop my gossip, my unkindness, and they can say, oh, you're right, her singing was fantastic. Good for you for going up to encourage her. I'm sure she appreciated it. Maybe she has something on her mind. No, why don't we just say a quick prayer for Michelle? Let's just release God's blessing and peace over her. Isn't that wonderful? God doesn't waste an opportunity. Or maybe they choose not to partner with that. So you get to decide, what are you going to do when we're together? Are you going to practice being like Jesus? If someone comes up to you and they begin to just, because people are people, okay, we're all on a journey. We all are moving towards more wholeness, but we all have areas of unwholeness still, okay? So don't expect everyone to be perfect who you're dealing with here in the church, the leadership, or one another. But instead, let's look at opportunities to practice to be like Jesus. So when you hear someone come up, and they're disgruntled about something. Maybe I say, oh, well, how about let's pray. Let's look at an opportunity to help them unskew their view. Because you see, I was looking like this when I said that about Michelle. Now they get a chance to help me. Oh, yeah. And then we pray together. Okay? What about, you know, you walk into a classroom and you notice garbage on the floor. And you don't even have kids in kids' church. Wow. You know what? That's disgusting. People should pick up. Don't they even know how to keep their classrooms clean? What's wrong with these people? They really should make sure that people clean up their classrooms, right? Well, I just missed my opportunity. Instead, it's like, oh, garbage. Well, somebody must have missed that here. I pick it up, and I throw it in the garbage, and I walk away. There you go. You know, in the kitchen, the counter, or where the coffee things are, there's some coffee ring stains sitting there. Oh, look how messy that is. It's terrible. Or I get a paper towel without saying anything, and I just wipe it up, throw it in the garbage. Anything you see in the church that needs doing, feel free to take an opportunity to practice. Because you know, the good thing about God is, if you don't take that opportunity, I will guarantee you 100%, you'll get another opportunity. Because the opportunities, they just keep on coming. So if you want to move on to another subject, get that opportunity sorted, and then you'll be able to get into a whole different set of opportunities. All right? You'll always have opportunities. You know, you're sitting in your seat. There's an altar call for healing. A lady comes up. You're sitting next to your friend there. Oh, there she goes again. Man, every time there's an altar call. First one up at the front. Sheesh, like what's wrong with her? Sorry, that's what we do sometimes, right? Check our heart there, right? Well, how about instead you say something along the lines of, oh my goodness, oh, she must still really be in pain. Hey, let's pray for her while she's up there, okay? And you stretch out your hand, your heart, and you pray for them. Check what you're thinking, what you're viewing people, okay? In every situation, you're going to get to choose what view you're going to have. Skewed or unskewed? That is the question. One thing, please don't try harder, because you aren't going to do this in your own strength. Don't try harder. Set aside time to be with Jesus. Just rest in him. Okay? It's not in your, oh, I'm going to do this right now. Oh, and then you don't do it right. And you're like, oh, no. Just, oh, gee, Lord, sorry, I missed that opportunity. Thank you that you're going to give me another one. So when something happens, because you know it will, you know you are going to get opportunities, guaranteed. God loves you that much. I want you to take a deep breath and ask three questions before you react. Hopefully you're going to respond, not react, before you get three questions. Number one, you're going to say, God, what about who you are is being revealed to me in this? Okay, I'll say that again. God, what about who you are is being revealed to me in this? Two, how am I learning to see and think more like Jesus in this? Okay, how am I learning to see and think more like Jesus in this? And number three, how can I practice being like Jesus in this? And if you do, I guarantee you it will change your life. I want to encourage you, don't give up if you don't see anything happening. You know, this last couple days, I've spent a couple hours outside and I've planted close to 400 bulbs in my front lawn, our yard. And if you were to go there today, you'd look at them there and you'd go, there's nothing there. It's just dirt. What are you talking about? I don't see anything. And you know what? All fall, all spring, you're just going to see dirt. I mean, all winter, you're going to see dirt. You aren't going to see nothing. But you know what? I'm inside already. I am anticipating spring because I cannot wait to see them start popping their heads through and to make all the colors and the different things that are going to happen. So as you're practicing, as opportunities are coming, know that there's something going on. Just persevere. Your springtime will come and you will bloom. And you know, some of us are early bloomers. Some of us are mid bloomers. Some of us are late bloomers. And the great thing about that is that in the beginning, in the middle, in the end, something's always blooming. Instead of just having it in the middle and there's nothing happening at the beginning or the end, God has it so that somewhere, someone is always blooming. So persevere. Kevin said in the pre-service, in the prayer this morning, in Psalm 33, he says, God says, for he spoke, God spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Isaiah says, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say my purposes will stand and I will do all that I please. He is revealing himself to you and he is making you like him. He wrote it in the beginning of the Bible and he will carry it on until the day you return to him. It is a fact. You can bank on it. You are being made into the image of Christ. He spoke it and he will do it. Be encouraged. So, if you would like to stand with me this morning to say, God, if I have any skewed views of you, myself, or others, I want to have an adjustment. And would you come and would you adjust my view? Then I ask you to stand with me. And we're going to pray. And then after we've prayed, if you would like further prayer or prayer for something else, please feel free to come to the front and our deacons and elders will pray with you. Otherwise, we have coffee in the back. And please then quietly, if ministry is going on, just quietly stay and have some coffee, have some fellowship. get some opportunities to practice, be Mother Teresa, let people see kindness, let them hear kindness, let them experience kindness as you have coffee with them today. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you that you are making us right now into the image of Jesus. We thank you that what you say, you always do. We thank you that it's not dependent on how we feel, think, act, or believe. It is always dependent on you, Jesus. We thank you for what you did on the cross. And because of what you did on the cross, this is all possible. So would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I give you permission to show me any areas that I have a skewed view of you, a skewed view of myself, and a skewed view of others. Change me now. Have your way. Help me to practice every opportunity and to be like you. In your name I pray. Amen.